The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Seven straight wins for the Bucks, and look, the big takeaway that we continue to pound over your heads here. This is a much different team. Since they moved Brook Lopez closer to the basket and started playing in the drop, this defense, believe it or not, a defense that many would lead you to believe has been downright awful. This defense has been much closer to a top 10 defense than they have the bottom 10 in those games played since November 3rd when that shift was made and pushed Brook Lopez back into the drop position. I'm not trying to say this is one of the best defenses in the league. I don't know if you can even say at this point. I wouldn't say at this point. It's a good defense. It is not an awful defense. They have played like a league average, better than league average defense, for just about 2 months now. And as we continue to point out, as long as you get that, like if you can get a top 10 defense, great. You will certainly take that. As long as you can sit somewhere, 12, 13, around there, slightly better than league average. The feeling is our offense can take it from there, and that is absolutely what we have seen. Now, you do need to add the caveat. The Bucks have played one of the easier schedules in the league. And I think the big difference is Boston Celtics have had a difficult schedule thus far. They have, I believe, as of right now, the Celtics do, the easiest remaining schedule in the league from this point forward. The Bucks have, I think it was the seventh most difficult schedule remaining. Bucks have played an easy schedule. So have the Philadelphia 76ers, by the way. Very similar in terms of opponent win percentage that we've seen from Philly and Boston, Philly and the Bucks. The difference is Philly has blown out their opponents, but we're starting to see more of that from this Bucks team. And there's been much more change with this Bucks team than there was with Philadelphia. Not to say there's been no change with Philly. You had to deal with James Harden getting traded early into the season. You have a new coach. You're certainly running things differently. They've dealt with change. The Celtics have dealt with change. But the Bucks have dealt with a whole lot more change. And we've continued to point out this is going to take time. It is going to be a lengthy process. I don't think it's even the finished product yet. You're still waiting to see some of those signs on that two-man game with Giannis and Damian Lillard. But we're seeing a lot more growth from this Bucks team the last, what, 2 or 3 weeks? And that, to me, has been the story here is, look, let's not sleep on the Bucks, as crazy as that is to suggest. A team that's been, for the last 5 years, one of the best teams in the league. All of the conversation you've heard this season has been Celtics are probably the most talented team. They have the best chance to represent the East and maybe the best chance to win the title. And then recently as well, hey, look at what Philadelphia is doing. Look at the impact of Nick Nurse. This is a really good team. They're blowing teams out. Joel Embiid looks incredible. He's not even playing in fourth quarters. Tyrese Maxey has had a coming out party. Wow, this team is something else. And then there's, oh yeah, and there's the Bucks. But their defense is terrible. Don't worry about them. The numbers are starting to suggest otherwise. And this is a team that I think is in a pretty good spot, you know, schedule withstanding and how much that increases, especially in March. But the team that's in a pretty good spot because they're continuing to figure things out. They're finding ways to win. Early in the season, it was all that clutch talk of, man, this team keeps winning these clutch games. That's the positive. The negative is, do you really need a clutch win against teams like the Chicago Bulls, the Portland Trail Blazers? But we've seen less and less of that. We've seen these signs of growth and this team getting better. And they're kind of starting to fly under the radar, which is absolutely insane to suggest for a team that right now has the most wins in the NBA and is tied with the Boston Celtics for the best record in the Eastern Conference. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line to join us today on Bucks Talk. If you are out getting the very last-minute Christmas gifts on your list or already traveling, we invite your interaction and to join us on the show. 855-616-1620 is that number. I will take a look at some more of those defensive numbers that I rattled off and what the biggest changes have been with this team consistently for the last 4 or 5 weeks after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
This is a very interesting scheduling quirk for the Bucks, who not only have two straight games against the Knicks, you're back to playing Christmas Day against the Knicks in Madison Square Garden, where it all started for Giannis in terms of the Christmas Day matchups. Remember, that was the Bucks' first game on Christmas Day in, I don't even remember off the top of my head, bad job by me, how long it was. I think it was like 40 years. Does that sound right, Evan? 40-something like that years since the Bucks had played on Christmas Day prior to that matchup in New York against the Knicks. Then you were in Philadelphia against the 76ers in a game we all wish to forget. And then things started to shift. That was the 1920 season where the Bucks started blowing teams away, and that was what jumped out about the first portion of that schedule, was that Philadelphia game was not what we expected. They regrouped from there and continued to go in a torrid pace. You had a home game against the Warriors. You had a home game against the Celtics. You had a road game against the Celtics last year. So the constants in terms of the Giannis era, 39 years since they had played on Christmas Day prior to that Knicks game. The constants in terms of the Giannis era and the Christmas Day showdowns have been the Knicks and the Boston Celtics. I think we're due. Look, as long as you have Giannis and Damian Lillard, you're going to be playing on Christmas Day for the foreseeable future. I'm going to put this out there now. We've long talked about, man, it's about time that we see a Bucks-Sixers playoff series. To that, I would caution, be careful what you wish for. But you got to beat good teams to get to that level that the Bucks want to reach. We saw that the year they won the championship. You had to go through the Brooklyn Nets in what may have been the de facto NBA Finals. You had to go through a very good Phoenix Suns team. You had to go through a Miami Heat team in the opening round that, you know, was a sixth seed. The Bucks swept them. They weren't the version of the Heat that we'd seen in recent years, but it's still a Miami Heat team with Eric Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler. The other thing I'll put out there, you know, we're all like, man, when are the Bucks and Sixers going to play in the playoffs? Another Christmas Day matchup between the Bucks and the Sixers seems like, let's get that next year at home at Fiserv Forum with these two teams. The intrigue of Giannis versus Joel Embiid, Adrian Griffin versus Nick Nurse as well. So there's a lot to point to in that matchup. But I mentioned some of the numbers that we had seen from this defense, and I've continually said this in the last week or so, that I think especially with basketball statistics, we have a tendency to just throw numbers out there that may not make sense. They may not fit the narrative you're trying to tell as a whole. It just speaks to one small thing you want to really get across. Of, oh, I found this. This lines up with what I'm trying to say. This is not that. This is not cherry picking. This is not manipulating stats or numbers to continually point to November 3rd for the Bucks. It's only four games you're excluding from there. I think you can point to all of the change that this group was going through those first four games, especially. Of course, things are going to be dramatically different when you factor in the practices and time that this team has had together. Damian Lillard and what his offseason was, how much of a whirlwind that was. Didn't have a chance to go through all the usual preparations that will put in an offseason. Didn't have access, as we found out in that report by Chris Haynes of Bleacher Report, or as much access to the team facility with the Portland Trailblazers as he had had in previous years. Did not have things like those five-on-fives and open courts that he would traditionally go through, and all players go through. And, oh, by the way, I got to find a place to live. I got to adjust to a new city. I got to learn new teammates and a new coach. So that's all part of the process that we spoke to. But it's not cherry-picking. It's not manipulating stats and numbers to say, let's just look at November 3rd on. Because you made a very, very big adjustment. This wasn't just, the schedule got easier, easy for me to say. The schedule loosened up a bit. had more home games or whatever it was, and point to, yeah, that's why they're playing better. Because oftentimes, and especially when you see things like a 10-game sample, you're going to have that of, man, this team really jumped forward. What was the difference? Well, they played at home a lot. Or they played some of the worst teams in the league. And I think that's what we've seen recently, too. Kirk Goldsberry does this every week, where he'll point out, hey, here's the last 10 games. This is the efficiency landscape. What stands out to you? And in the most recent efficiency landscape from Kirk Goldsberry, the Bucks had, I believe, the number one offense and the number 10 defense in the league and was somewhere around third in net rating. Those last 10 games included six at home. More than that, actually. But those last 10 games were very home-heavy. And you didn't play an overtly hard schedule. And that's kind of been the story for this team throughout the season. So 10 games, those can be deceiving. But the point is, since November 3rd, that's not deceiving. That's 25 games of a sample size. That's home and road. There's one big shift and reason why those numbers look differently as well that you can point to. Well, this happened. It's like any other form of analytics where you want to do before and after analysis. Before Brook Lopez was in the drop, very small sample size, but before and after. That's the difference here, and that's why we keep pointing to this and why I keep saying, look, this team is doing what you would expect on that end of the floor. The goal should be better than league average. And that's what you've gotten defensively. They've been a better than league average team, and the offense has taken it from there. They have been elite, and that's the terrifying part is earlier in the week on the homestand, we talked with Malik Beasley, we talked with Cameron Payne, we talked with Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton as well, and they all pointed to the same things of, you know, we're still learning. We're still growing. We're still developing that chemistry. Like, we are not a finished product offensively, and this is what we're doing in the interim. In the meantime, how scary of a thought is that? Like, we feel like we've got that chemistry developing, but it's not developed. Cameron Payne, too, said a big thing that we've seen recently is, you know, we've started to mention is this team turning the corner, and that's been within the last, what, five or so games? Little more than that, maybe. Cameron Payne was the first to point out in terms of players in the locker room. Look, that Pacers game, that galvanized us. We beat a good team. We wanted to show some revenge. We didn't like the way we finished that game in the in-season tournament semifinals. We weren't pleased with our play. Maybe they were less than pleased with the Tyrese Halliburton pointed at his watch. But as Damian Lillard also said, look, I've done that. You kind of have to accept that people are going to do it to you. But the Bucks were certainly a motivated team the last time they played the Indiana Pacers. And then what happened after the game, we won't cast blame on either side. But regardless, that whole turn of events, as Cam Payne said, that galvanized us. That brought us together. Damian Lillard spoke about it too and mentioned, you know, when you see those types of things happen, it really drives home how much of a team you are and knowing this guy has my back. Whoever that is, whoever you point to behind you, I know that guy has my back and is looking out for me. And that's one of the ways you really jumpstart that chemistry. And that's what we've continued to see from this team. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank Talk and Text line to join us today on Bucks Talk. 22-7 on the season. Defense is showing signs of improvement. Offense has been absolutely elite. And you feel like there's still a pretty, pretty decent amount of improvement that is yet to come for that group. So I do want to get into a little bit of a conversation of why the Bucks made this bet. You know, it's easy to say, well, you brought in Damian Lillard. Of course you made the deal. But this isn't so much Dame versus Drew Holiday. Why the Bucks gambled on offense and why John Horst said this is our best path forward. I do want to get into that after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk.
First of two games this holiday weekend in New York goes to the Bucks. They take down the Knicks in convincing fashion, 130 2-1-11. 3-0 against the Knicks so far this season. So should you need it, you have already taken that head-to-head tiebreaker. But I think we're seeing some larger trends that I'll speak to in the Eastern Conference in just a moment as well. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line. If you want to join us today on Bucks Talk, let's head to those phone lines and check in with Southside James. Happy holidays. What's going on today, James?
Yeah, it's happy holiday. My question is, where would 60 games get the Bucks when it's all said and done? They'd be figuring multiply this by three. They're about a third through the season right now. Where would that put the Bucks?
For wins, are you saying? Where would they be for wins?
Yeah,
on this pace,
figures about 60 wins. Would that put us?
Let's try to figure this out here, James. So if they've won 22 out of 29, that's a 75-76% win pace here. That would put the Bucks on pace for 62 wins.
And where would that put us in comparison to how everybody stacks?
To the rest
up
of the East. Well, I believe Boston right now is at a 63 win pace, so you'd be just behind them. But ahead of everybody else. And I think, and thanks for the call, James. I think that's what speaks to what I was going to get at before. Is I mentioned trends that we're starting to see develop. And to me, the big one is this. I think there's still a lot of ambiguity out in the West, but in the Eastern Conference, we came into the season talking about, well, there's the Bucks and there's the Celtics, and we think these two teams, depending on who you listen to, we know these two teams are going to be it. It's what does the rest of the East look like? Because we think 3-8 is much better. And I think what we have noticed, the trend is, it's a three-team race. There's the Bucks, there's the Celtics, and there's the 76ers, who I was ready to shovel dirt on earlier in the season when you saw that Philly team opening night and how they looked. No James Harden. There was that cloud hanging over them. Joel Embiid didn't look great in that game. But again, as we have cautioned, don't jump to conclusions off of one game, and certainly don't jump to conclusions off of just a small sample size of games. Philadelphia has proven that point. Those three teams are on that same level, the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Celtics. I feel confident in saying, close to 30 games through the season, we're about a third of the way through, I feel pretty good and confident enough to say I don't think there is a move out there for any team that's outside of the Bucks, Celtics, and Sixers. There isn't a move that exists that would put any Eastern Conference team on their level. You may have a tough first-round opponent if you're on that three line, certainly if you're in the 4-5 matchup. But I think everything we've waited for, man, the Eastern Conference, it's coming along. We've just constantly seen it's a two- or three-horse race. In the West, there's a lot more ambiguity. The Minnesota Timberwolves right now lead the Western Conference. The Oklahoma City Thunder are second in the West. The Denver Nuggets are 20-10. You're still trying to figure out, is this the usual defending champ? They'll take it easy. They'll work into things. They've dealt with some injuries as well, not having Jamal Murray earlier in the season. Sacramento Kings, a lot of people said, hey, are they going to take a step backward? They haven't so far. Clippers have been the biggest surprise to me because they have looked like recent 9-game win streak. They've started to look recently like what we envisioned the Clippers would be 3 years ago. And then you got the Lakers that you certainly can't sleep on. So to me, the West is, that's where the ambiguity lies. Who's the best team? Is it the Timberwolves? Is it the Nuggets? Is it the Lakers? That you're not sure of. And you're not even, I don't think, sure what the tiers are. In the East, you know what it is. And now it's just going to become an arms race for those three teams. And for the Bucks, again, everybody's going to ask about potential trade targets. We're still months away from getting into any of that and discussing what do the Bucks need the most? Who do the Bucks need the most? What can they do? Still a ways away. For the Bucks, the biggest thing is going to be continuing to develop that chemistry. And again, I've mentioned this a few times, but the biggest adjustment in terms of adding resources that I believe the Bucks can make, it may very well be just continuing to develop players like Andre Jackson Jr. and Marjon Beauchamp. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank Talk and Text Line. More of your thoughts after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
The Bucks beat the Knicks in the first of two games in New York. The second of those, obviously, is Christmas Day. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with Mike in Shorewood. What's going on today, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, man? Really love the way the Bucks have really turned it on now after that slow start. And you're seeing, once they're in sync, to me, in my mind, they're the best team in the East and maybe the league. But we'll focus on that. You got to play like that. I know you got to play out throughout the whole season. But you're seeing when Giannis is just ravaging both ends of the court like he is. Middleton is finally starting to hit his groove. Dame is really getting more comfortable, worked into the offense. You got guys like Beasley and Portis really becoming a heat factor off that bench there. And I agree with that opinion that let's work in these young guys like Jackson, see what they can give you. You got to what? You got about 3 more months of the trade deadline. If they're seeing that they need to tinker with something and make an additional move, I think Buck management has shown they're aggressive enough to go out and make it. So I want to see how these guys will play forward, evaluate. And we know that if they feel like it's not enough to get them the Larry O'Brien in June, they're going to go ahead and make a move. So let's just play out. They've caught up to Boston. I think they're, barring major injuries, I think Milwaukee's going to be the number one seed, which is going to be critical. Obviously, it doesn't guarantee you're going to win and come out of the East, but it ensures that you want to have home court. And Bucks have shown they're the best team in the league at home. And so that's going to be a huge factor for them. So I feel like let's let these young guys work in to the core, see if they can fit in with the vets. And I feel like that's going to be the best. As far as today's go, I just love the match against the Knicks. The Knicks just have no answers. They're a solid team, but Bucks just always continually to pummel them. And they should do the same on Christmas Day there in the Garden. So I love the way the Bucks are playing. They're locked in, playing great basketball right now during this win streak. And hopefully they keep this mentality going forward. And I feel like they're showing even though most people, the experts, think Boston's the best team, I just don't think Boston really is shown the same issues. They can't close teams out, in which is excusable when you got two of the top 15 players in Tatum and Brown, and we do, and the Bucks do now with Giannis, and that's why they brought in Dame to be the ultimate closer when defense is bogged down on Giannis. So great win tonight, and I expect this to keep going forward. This is great to watch what they're. The way they're in sync right now. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. And you did bring up one very, very good point I do want to get to in just a moment. As far as the who gets the one seed, still way too early to determine that. And what I would point to is the Celtics do have the easiest remaining schedule in the league. So I think the numbers would point towards Boston should get that one seed. But, you know, as we've seen the last few years, I think the two seed is really the sweet spot that has produced. I believe we ran through this when the Bucks won the title, and I believe it's the two seed that has produced the most title teams the last 25 or so years. Not necessarily the one seed. The Bucks did it as a three seed. That's not uncommon either. But you're the two seed. You get home court for the 2-versus-3 matchup. That is really one of those tests too, and I think that really helped the Bucks. Granted, they didn't have home court. But getting that test against Brooklyn to get you ready going forward, or not get you ready so much as help you moving forward, that was big for them as well that year, the title. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with Chad in Milwaukee.
Hey, good afternoon. Yeah, I'd just like to kind of address two things. One, you kind of asked the question, essentially, was it worth the bet? you know, getting rid of Drew and getting Dame. And I think you talk about trends, what we noticed last season and maybe even the year before is we were becoming very one-dimensional, and there was a trend towards having a lot of scoring droughts. And as you think about Drew Holiday, you know, he's kind of more of a streaky scorer. Sometimes he's on, sometimes he's off, but he's pretty consistent with defense. But ultimately, as you're thinking about, you know, that being one-dimensional and having scoring droughts, once people started queuing in on shutting Giannis down or when Giannis is on the bench, we couldn't get any points up on the board, that's not going to cut it. And so ultimately, was it worth the bet from an offensive standpoint? Absolutely, right? You've got to go for it because it was trending downward since the championship year. But I think as we're kind of looking at, all right, where do we move forward, you know, coming up with the trade deadline and whatnot, at this point, what we're still lacking, and whether you train, you know, Beauchamp or Jackson, is really having a defensive specialist on the wing,
yeah.
Right? The deeper you go into the playoffs, right? Yeah, you got Giannis, you've got Lopez down there to block shots, but what about the wing? We still get killed on those open threes or people being out of position, but having a defensive specialist who can stop people on the wing, the deeper you get in the playoffs, you're going to be up against, you know, folks who've got a bench, right? Or they got more than 2-3 scorers. And so that, you know, you're not just going to be able to clog the paint, right? They're going to be able to pull up mid-range, 3 points. So I think for us, it's really focusing on, even if you get somebody by the trade deadline, they don't necessarily need to be a starter, but can you get a vet in here who can actually show these young guys what it's like to be a tactician defensively? And I think that's an element that we need, is somebody to just show them, like, hey, look, if you're not going to be the number one guy in the NBA offensively, you've got to learn how to be a specialist. And that's what I believe we need.
Yeah, and look, and thanks for the call too, Chad. That's a lot of teams are looking for that, not just the Bucks. But I do agree with your point on that. And you know, back to the conversation of offense versus defense, and I think we're aligned here, Chad and I, is part of this, again, it wasn't just Damian Lillard versus Drew Holiday. I think the bet the Bucks made and what they had analyzed and reviewed and said, here's how we have to change, is they had an elite defense for the last 5 years. But as we saw, that offense, and especially half court, that's where the problems came. They won a title in 2021 despite having a pretty bad half-court offense. You won it thanks to your defense. Now, you still got timely shots from Chris Middleton. Giannis had some massive games. Drew hit some big shots, too. For as much as we want to throw those struggles in the face of Drew Holiday offensively, as bad as he looked offensively for the first, 46 minutes of Game 7 against the Brooklyn Nets, Drew Holiday hit a big shot down the stretch. But I think what you saw, and it really came to a head, I believe, not so much last year, but in that series against the Boston Celtics 2 years ago. And granted, you didn't have Chris Middleton, but I think what you started to see was our defense is great. And we can ask our defense to keep us in games. They did that. There is no reason the Bucks should have stretched that series to 7 games against the Celtics when you looked at the personnel on the floor for both of those teams. It's a testament to the coaching job. It's a testament to Giannis as well, who was absolutely insane in that series. But that should not have gone 7 games. And I think what you started to see was you kept asking your defense to come up with stops, and they did by and large. But you can't do that every single trip down the floor. Any coach will tell you good offense is going to beat good defense 8 or 9 times out of 10 in this league. It's just how skilled these players are. And the Bucks defense would come up with these stops and come up with these stops and come up with these stops. But if you're not scoring on the other end, the more you have to go back to that well, sooner or later you run out of water, number one, and it can just get to be deflating. And that's what they seem to run into every single year, is you would start to get these stops, but you got to capitalize and you got to score on the other end. And that was not the strength of the Bucks. And sooner or later, those stops are going to run out. And if you're not scoring, your defense can be great, but it just takes 1 or 2 possessions where they don't get that stop. The opponent scores. If you're not doing the same, things can get out of hand, or that's where you lose a close game. And I think the measurement was, we got to be able to score in the half court. And you've seen that. The half-court offense has been better. Damian Lillard can certainly do that. But I'm also very encouraged by what we're seeing from Chris Middleton. And that's the other thing I wanted to point to and get into. We'll get into that discussion after this, is what we've seen from Chris Middleton, especially on the offensive end. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. We'll get into the Chris Middleton conversation after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
All right, so your main takeaway from today's show, if you leave with nothing else, leave with this. Again, it's not cherry-picking when we point to statistics starting with November 3rd when the Bucks shifted the way they played defense and said, you know what, maybe it's not a great idea to have Brook Lopez playing on the perimeter and pressuring the ball. Let's put him closer to the basket. Leads the NBA in block shots. Is on pace for a career high in blocks, has never blocked more than 200 shots in a season. And last check, I believe he was on pace for about 230 blocks this season. Last year was his career high, which was just under 200. So these numbers since then make sense. And it's clear why you would point to that. But in games played since then, this Bucks defense, and the offense has been fairly consistent. It's improved slightly since then, but year in, year out, or duration of the year, I should say, the offense has been consistent. In the low 120s in offensive rating, third best in the league. Defensively, since November 3rd, the Bucks have a 114.3 defensive rating. That is 12th best in the NBA, and it is 0.3 of a point behind the Cleveland Cavaliers, not for 11th, not for 10th, for 9th. Cleveland Cavaliers have a defensive rating of 114 even. Bucks are 114.3 since November 3rd. Bucks are within striking distance of having a top 10 defense, a top 9 defense for that matter, since they made that adjustment, and the offense remains elite. So that's the big thing to take away, is it feels like this team is getting better and improving, especially on the defensive end of the floor. And where the discourse was early in the season about, man, this is trending towards the worst defense in the league. What is going on here? Much, much different now. And those numbers back it up. The other thing I wanted to mention is we talked briefly about Chris Middleton. And I was actually talking about this with Dave earlier today, Dave Kane. When you watch Chris, now look, you talk about process and what's going to take time. Chris Middleton is in that conversation as well. They've taken it easy with him, slowly brought him back into the mix here, but now we're consistently seeing minutes in the 30s, and the defense is still coming around. Look, he may not be the defender he was years ago. None of us are, right? But for Chris, especially with the injuries, he just may not be that guy anymore. And I think we do have to accept that as a very likely reality. But offensively, he is still that guy. And what stands out the most with this offense, well, I shouldn't say the most, but one of the larger standouts is we saw Damian Lillard request to play all of the first and third quarters and said, this is what helped me get on track and find that rhythm when I was in Portland. We've seen Giannis largely do the same as well. That leaves you vulnerable for extended minutes in the second and fourth quarter where you don't have either of those players on the floor. And to me, those are the minutes where Chris Middleton has really shined. He has been that guy. He is a walking bucket on the offensive end of the floor once again. Starting to see the threes fall. He still has that silky smooth mid-range game. Regardless of what you'll hear from a portion of Bucks fans, he can still handle the basketball and facilitate on offense. I'm not saying Chris doesn't turn the ball over. But to me, that is one of the bigger takeaways here is, man, Chris is certainly back offensively, and you're able to stagger things and have minutes where he's on the floor, Giannis is on the floor, Dame is on the floor, one of those three guys is there at all times. And that's a big reason for this offensive consistency. They have not fallen off a cliff in the minutes with no Giannis or Dame, largely because you got Chris Middleton running the offense, setting his teammates up, but also hitting some of those shots in the half court. We'll wrap up the show, get you set for round two against the Knicks on Christmas Day after this on Bucks Talk.
The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Ain't no way they can stop me now. 130 to 111, our final score from Madison Square Garden. The Bucks take the first of two games in New York against the Knicks. 3-0 against the Knicks this season, so they have won the head-to-head tiebreaker. And more importantly, 7 straight wins for this team that continues to score at a high volume, another game scoring 130 or more. They have done that at a very, very regular pace for this last stretch of, what, about 6 weeks now, that the offense continues to develop that chemistry and look like the elite unit we predicted they would be. But more importantly, the defense has continued to take some strides forward. We will be back here with Bucks basketball, no Bucks talk, on Christmas Day. 11 a.m. tip-off on Christmas Day against the Knicks. 10:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to everybody out there in the audience listening today. More Bucks basketball Christmas Day between these same two teams, the Bucks and the Knicks. We will talk to you then. Drop back.